Morning. We're sparse in number, and that's okay. I see people passing the window, so we're still coming in. I know there was a big mess on 1604, if you happen to come that way, and that delay is going to delay some people. This morning is a fifth Sunday. And that means that we want to turn our attention particularly to prayer this morning. And that is something that is very important. And since I failed to ask anybody to do this time, I guess I'm elected. So I want to give you a few thoughts this morning about prayer. And then we'll spend our time, of course, in prayer later, and that the order of that will be that we'll divide prayer request up and pray silently and ask ask you if you'll volunteer to pray for certain things. Very important time to pray. So with that in mind, let me begin our time, please, in prayer, and then I'll turn us for a brief time to the scriptures and look at a few things. Father, we're so grateful that we can gather again. You've given us yet another Sunday. We thank you that we can come in your name. We're so glad to be in this safe place and be with your people. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us the ability to meet, and especially meet around your word, to worship you and to pray. Oh, Father, how we need thee this day. Please guide and direct everything that is said, everything that is done to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. May he be exalted. May our eyes be opened this morning to truth, and may our hearts be receptive and our minds changed. I beseech you in all that we do, Father, again, that it would be pleasing in your sight. Father, we thank you for those that are here. We pray your special blessing upon them. We pray your care for all of your people. We thank you that you're on the throne. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to remind you just of a few quick things. That prayer, first of all, is not optional. It's not really optional. I think we think of it in those terms. People use terms like, well, we can't do anything but pray. Kind of as a last resort. It is commanded in Scripture, repeatedly commanded. And not only is it foolish when God's people don't recognize that and take full advantage of it, it is ultimately a sin not to be praying. The Scripture says that we are to pray without ceasing. There should be continual communion with our God. And I think that means when you're driving your car, when you're walking by the way, if you're in business and you're in a meeting, when you're talking to your neighbor, you can be praying at the same time in your heart and in your mind. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me to know what to say. Help me to know what to do. All of that is exceedingly important, and it is an exceeding blessing. As God is our Lord, our life ruler, our first love, as Paul says, our all, praying laxity is really unbecoming and not reasonable. And you know what prayer is. It is direct communication with God. And there are a lot of what we could call rules. I don't like that terminology because it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual dynamic that should fill our heart and soul and not something that we do of mechanical. But because all of the things come to bear, really, in prayer that have to do with our relationship with God, our relationship with the Word of God, and particularly our conception of God, we have to understand in Scripture how God thinks, how God wills, who God is and certainly believe in His omnipotent ability, all of that is associated and much more with the fact of prayer. And there is a fatherhood aspect to prayer, is there not? Paul tells us, you know, in Romans 8 that there is such a union between His people. We are His adopted children, co-heirs with Jesus Christ, that we call to Him as Abba, Father, the most intimate of relationship. And He has His right over us. He has His care over His own. We think of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that I shall not want. All of that is so precious and relates to this communion that we have with God. So true prayer is amazing in its reality. The whole issue of coming into God's presence, and you know, we've been watching on the TV this week, looking in the Oval Office up there, and that's kind of an awesome thing. Well, that's nothing in comparison to coming into the presence of Almighty God. That's just men up there. And we dare not think lightly of what we're doing when we're praying, because it is a privilege that must stem, again, from right relations and appropriate, if you want to call it, decorum. And I think all of that is found in the Word of God and found in richness and depth as we study the Word of God and we begin to understand who He is, who we are, and how we should pray. Now, there is an appropriate effort in Scripture to define prayer that is pleasing to God, because there is obviously prayer that is not pleasing to God. Look with me, first of all, just quickly, at Psalm 17, if you would turn there, please. Psalm 17, and look at this first statement that is made in Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 1, we read, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry, give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips." Now, the first thing that you'll notice here is that "hear a just cause" is the idea that when we pray, we are bringing our case before God. It's like He is the judge of all the earth. And it's like entering a courtroom, and we come into that courtroom and present our case before Him as the judge of the earth and as our Heavenly Father who is watching over all things. And He is the only one that can ultimately change things. He's in charge. And so the idea is, here is a just cause, or the idea, here is a reasonable cause, and Thou art a God of reason. He is a God of total equity. O Lord, give heed to my cry. And that idea of a cry there, of course, is that this is something that is very important and significant. It has an intensity to it. Give ear to my prayer. God doesn't have to do what we want. He doesn't have to listen to anybody. Proverbs 28:9 says the prayers of the unrighteous are an abomination to God. And so He doesn't have to hear us, but He is coming before Him again as one that is presenting a righteous case. And He says that which is not from deceitful lips. It is from someone he's not claiming here absolute righteousness. That's not what He's saying. But He is somebody that is walking in right relation with God, trying to do the right thing. And so the idea is that by Your grace, Lord, You ought to hear what I have to say, because it's not from deceitful lips. It's not something personal that I am trying to do to get the upper hand on somebody or something else. It's not something selfish. It is something reasonable and just. And it is, and I would say from that too, it's from a source in right relationship. We need to be in right relationship with God. And I'm not talking about forgiven in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about walking with Him. And so I want to spend some time really discussing that. And I can see I'm already too long-winded. We already mentioned the fact that God will not hear the prayers of the unrighteous. If I took the time to take you to Micah chapter 3 and verse 4, where he's talking about Israel and how God will not hear them because their heart is not right. And he gives the picture of them being in the fire, of the refiner's fire, but it doesn't do any good to be in the refiner's fire because their heart is like bronze and it doesn't smelt. And we need to understand with ourselves that there is a relationship vertical with God that is so very important in our daily living and walking with Him. The Lord Jesus Christ put it in the terms of, remember in John 15, abide with Me, abide with Me. Without Me, you can do nothing. Continue with Me. Commune with Me. Be in fellowship, as it were, with Me all the time. So, for the saved, Scripture does indicate some hindrances or wrong approaches to prayer. And one thing that never deters from prayer, by the way, is trials and difficulties and troubles. If we took the time to look through the Psalms, which is, by the way, very refreshing, they're almost always about troubles and trials and difficulties. And that actually brings out in God's people some of the best of prayer, because it shows our absolute dependence and need of Him all the time. But I want to just list quickly here, because time is already fleeting, some things that can be hindrances for us right now, always have been, but they continue to be that way in 21st century America. And I put here, the first thing is, what we can kind of hump all this together in busyness, not busyness, but busyness, laziness. And in really associated with that and key is wrong priorities. And the Scripture has a lot about wrong priorities. Since you're already in the Psalms, look at Psalm 73, which you should be familiar with, about the fellow that nearly stumbled when he looked at how well the unrighteous were doing. Psalm 73 and verse 25. After coming to his senses, the psalmist says this, and this is, I think, the key, the marquee should be for all of God's people, and it sets the priority. Whom have I in heaven but You? And besides You, I desire nothing on earth. Isn't that great? That should be our attitude. That What he's saying there, and he's not excluding the fact that we should not love our spouses or take care of our children or our responsibilities, but he's saying in relationship to You, which is priority number one, nothing else comes close. That's the whole idea. Besides You, I desire nothing on earth. And if that becomes our guiding principle, and it has to come from within our heart, our priorities will not be wrong. And you recognize, and this is all about idolatry, that God will not be second place. He doesn't say, thou shalt, love the Lord thy God somewhere along the line with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so, having wrong priorities, losing sight, if you want to call it that, of what's really important And nothing is more important than your relationship with God. And not just the fact that you're forgiven in Christ Jesus, but that you are walking with Him. Number two I put is sin in the life. It brings communication barriers that are what Ephesians 4:30, I won't turn there, says of do not grieve the Spirit that is within you. We can so grieve the Spirit of God within us when we sin and we lose our direction and we're meandering off the path of righteousness and become lazy in our spiritual life. We can so wander away from that path that we're grieving the Spirit that we become more like an unsaved person than a saved person. And Christians do that. And I'm not meandering into carnal Christianity here. There is no question that in the Scripture there is not a spiritual battle taking place within everyone who names the name of Christ and has a right relationship with Him, of continual battle to keep our focus and attention in the right place. A failure to spend time in God's Word. Every one of us should have the attitude of the psalmist in Psalm 119. I mean, the richness of that is amazing. And the Word of God is like putting fuel in your system. Paul says that as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. And the funny thing about that is the more we drink in God's Word, the hungrier and thirstier it makes us. And the more we stay away from God's Word, the easier it is to stay away from God's Word, and we find ourselves really dissipated. And our prayer life suffers because there's something very special and unique, food, as it were, health, spiritual health that is associated with being in God's Word. There is a failure to seek Him because of a spirit of independence, a wrong attitude that we can develop. James talks about things like, if the Lord wills, we'll go do this and that. We all can begin to sort of think in arrogant terms. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. We just really haven't thought about it. Maybe we didn't put it in those terms, but that's the way we start conducting our lives. And James talks about in the beginning of James chapter 1 there that when you pray, if you need anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, but let him ask in faith. We're not to be doubting. And all of that is not associated with building ourselves up and saying, I think I can. It all has to do with faith in God and what He can do. Not faith in me. Not building my faith up in that sense, but building up my understanding of who God is so that when I approach Him with my, quote, just cause, I know that He hears and He will always do what is right. And so that's where confidence comes from. And then failing to endure, as it were, fainting under pressure, giving up too quickly is found as a hindrance in the Scriptures. Luke 18, verse 1 talks about at all times pray and do not lose heart. Just because God doesn't answer something the way we think He should, when we think He should, we need to, applying all of these things, back to the fact that He is God and knows better than we do. And we need to not lose heart, not faint, not give up, or not think that God is some sort of a genie there to answer our prayer, our issue immediately, but that He does deal with it in His omniscience. And with that, of course, His grace and His mercy and kindness. And so we need to continue to pray and pour out our heart to Him and not lose heart. There are the issue of poor relations with others. There's much in Scripture about carrying an unforgiving spirit or a harsh spirit and mistreating others. You have the whole issue of the parable, the story that Christ gave about the man that was forgiven and then he went to somebody that he owed that owed him money and then he wouldn't forgive them. And the whole idea is if God has forgiven you and me of the greatness of our sins against Him, which are our lives, everything about us is ugly by comparison. If we cannot forgive others and be gracious to others, then it ruins our relationship in that sense with God. In fact, he talks in terms, if you will not forgive others, then I will not forgive you. There's the idea of mechanical praying, praying not really to seek God and commune with Him, but either to impress others or maybe even to feel good about yourself or just feel religious. You know, I did my thing. I went and prayed and I went through the mechanics and so, you know, God should be impressed with me. No. Everything in the Scripture, everything when you look through all of these Psalms, is an issue of heart. And it is not about feeling good about yourself, but it's always about humility, right relationship with God, a desire to please Him, a desire that His will be done, all of those things, and as well as just because He's the love of your life. You want to commune with Him. And then there's the idea of prideful attitude of deserving. And all of that is associated with not recognizes our circumstances are purposeful of God. And prayer must always be humbly coming before our God. Look at, I'm still in Psalm 73. Look at Psalm 73. He says in verse 1, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. He establishes right off the bat that whatever his problem is, which he has a problem here, thinking that God's not fair in a funny sort of sense, because the unrighteous seem to just be doing hunky-dory, and he's looking at his circumstances, and they're not, he's not doing hunky-dory. But he says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. He is recognizing that God is righteous and good and just in everything he does, whether or not I can understand it or not. And that if Israel or myself is not receiving everything I think I should receive or whatever, it's not because I'm deserving of better, but God has a purpose behind that too. He works all things together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so the point is there's always this need for humility. Who are we anyway coming before God? We're pretty pathetic. We're just pretty pathetic. What can I say? God is always the King and the Lord, and we are His servants. We are His children. It's a little bit like when I was now I'm a granddad, so I can violate that a little bit. But when I was a daddy, and my kids would probably just want to eat candy all day and their teeth rot out. But and they might have thought, well, how come daddy's so mean? He doesn't let us eat candy all day I'm giving a silly illustration. But because he knows what daddy knows, if he loves those little guys and little girls, He knows what is best for them, and he must be guided by that. And our God is that way too. So my heart, my head, my living, my attitude, all must be right as I come before God. And it is a glorious thing to pray, to come before God and expect to be heard. So that's what we're going to do in the minutes that are ahead of us. And I have a prayer sheet, and I've got some here. Tyler, would you pass these around, please? That's the latest prayer sheet via Tom Cooper. And this morning we want to spend some time, and I like to spend this time praying where we are comprehensive, in the sense that we really try to cover every aspect in prayer of this sheet. Now, does God need to be informed? No. But it does show our sincere and earnest desire that we believe him, that we trust him, and that he wants us to pray as we have talked about. He commands us to do so. And this is a manner of obedience and systematically covering that which has been placed on our hearts. So what I'm going to do here is, you have three sections, right? We have prayer guidance for GBC ministry, and that also encompasses our leaders of our nation and so forth. And at the end of that, I'm going to give you some time. I'm going to assign things according to your volunteerism, and you pray silently for these things. And at the end of that, I was going to ask Tom Cooper to summarize that, if you would, please, in a short prayer. And then we have the personal prayer request section, and we'll assign that. And then at the end of that, I'm going to ask Roger Mummy if he would please close out that section in a summary form. And then the last section will be assigned missions ministry, and I'll close out that section in the entire prayer time. So let me begin with prayer guidance for GBC ministry. Who would take for our country's leaders that we might continue to have freedom in America to worship? Doctor. For those who are deployed overseas and all those defending our freedoms. Brother, thank you. For our elders and teachers listed there, please. Who would pray for them? Thank you, Amanda. For our deacons, and they're listed there. Who would pray for the deacons? Thank you, up here. That we will be a thankful people for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. Very important, Tyler. That we will be faithful to our church calling to be a pillar and support of the truth. Pray for this church that we might remain consistent in our commitment to following the path of the Lord. Who would pray that? Thank you. For the Lord's wisdom and guidance in all ministry endeavors, and for love, spiritual unity, and harmony among us. Thank you, brother. For God's protection from those who would seek to destroy or diminish our faithfulness to Christ. We need God's protection. Thank you. That God will bring visitors and use this ministry to point people to Christ and grow in him for his glory. Thank you. For the GBC website, evangelistic outreach of GBC, and the Trail Life Ministry to the glory of God. Thank you, Allison. All right, so let's spend two or three minutes in prayer. And at the end of that, I'll say something and ask Tom to wrap it up, please.